Good morning to you. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. So we begin a six-week time when we're really focused on discipline, praying, trying to always centre ourselves on God. So welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you. Since it is Lent, I will change one or two introductions so that they accord with the church's suggested sentences for this season. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. And the collect for this first Sunday of Lent. Heavenly Father, your Son battled with the powers of darkness and grew closer to you in the desert. Help us to use these days to grow in wisdom and prayer, that we may witness to your saving love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to the devil, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendour. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Every year on this first Sunday of Lent, we hear about Jesus going into the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and being tempted and tested by the devil. Jesus had just been baptized, where he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this marked the beginning of his ministry. Straight after his baptism, that same Spirit of God led Jesus into 40 days of isolation and fasting in the harsh Judean wilderness. God sent Jesus to the wilderness so that Jesus could spend time exclusively with God, trying to discern what sort of ministry God wanted him to exercise. What was Jesus's vocation? What would it entail? In going without food and drink and not being with anyone else, Jesus had to depend on God entirely and listen only to God. If you imagine, Jesus would have had lots of questions to wrestle with in his conversations in prayer to God. How am I going to do this, Lord, Father? If I'm the Messiah, how do you want me to reveal that fact to others? How do I know whether what I think you're asking me to do is what you want me to do, Father? Like Jesus, you and I know about weighing up pros and cons in decision making, and they can be very difficult. There are options and we have conflicting desires, some good, some not so good, some downright selfish or wrong. We wrestle trying to discern which is the best decision. We try to work out what God wants us to do, and it's not easy. But in times of trying to make a difficult decision, other voices seek to entice us, taunting us perhaps, twisting the truth, deceiving us. They might make something that's bad look good and vice versa. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus is absolutely famished, and in comes the devil to test and to tempt Jesus. Jesus is physically weak, and the devil knows it and sees an opportunity to strike. We mustn't be deceived. The devil will always try to attack us or tempt us, test us at our weakest points. The devil always wants us to turn away from God. The devil is a liar. The devil, or evil, causes havoc and chaos. Just look at the extent of evil being revealed in the Epstein files. We mustn't ever underestimate the power of evil. And the devil is always trying to get a foothold into our lives. And that includes the devil's attempt to steer Jesus away from God. So let's look at how the devil tested Jesus. The first temptation. Jesus was desperately hungry. The devil knows that Jesus is divine as well as being human. That's why he says the words to this effect. Come on, Jesus, if you are the Son of God and you're hungry, and it looks like God isn't going to help you, but you know you have powers to change these stones into bread. If you do that, you'll feel a lot stronger. How tempting that must have been for Jesus. But let's be clear about this. The devil is trying to get Jesus to act independently of God to satisfy his hunger. And Jesus, however famished he feels, won't do that. Jesus relies utterly on God, trusting God. Working with God is the number one priority for Jesus. And he replies to the devil, one doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. As far as Jesus is concerned, using his own powers for selfish means isn't on the agenda, however hard that was to say. The devil doesn't give up. The devil now tries to entice Jesus by twisting scripture and testing God. The Jews had been waiting for the Messiah for a very long time. How was Jesus, the Messiah, going to convince them that he was the Messiah? How is he going to use his God-given power? So the devil tempts Jesus to do this mad, spectacular thing of leaping off the pinnacle of the temple to see if God would save him and prove he is the Messiah. But Jesus knows this is completely wrong. You don't test God. Jesus reiterates that his task is to listen to God, work with God and obey God, not do his own thing. On the third attempt, the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and offers them all to Jesus. Now, the devil has overstretched himself. The world, you see, doesn't belong to the devil, and these kingdoms aren't his to offer Jesus. And then the devil really uncloaks himself, telling Jesus that the whole world can be Jesus if Jesus bows down and worships him. The devil is asking Jesus to break the very first commandment. You shall worship the Lord your God and only him. Of course, Jesus rejects that and tells the devil to clear off. This, by the way, and this is really important, this is only a temporary exit. As we read through the Gospels, we'll see the devil cropping up again and again, through how others speak and treat Jesus and test him, trying to catch him out so that they can arrest him and get him killed. Jesus is under attack from the devil for the whole of his life. And interestingly, only after that fierce battle with the devil in the wilderness is Jesus then fed by angels, sent from God. God provided as Jesus trusted God would. So back to us. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God not to lead us into temptation or testing, and we ask God to save us from the evil one. It's very easy for us to just say these words when we pray the Lord's Prayer because it's so familiar. Do we really, really take those words into account? The devil will battle with us all the time, trying to infiltrate our minds and tempting us to turn away from God and what God wants us to be and do. Sometimes it won't be that obvious. Sometimes it will be us trying to discern with God's help between the good option and the best option. And I can give you an example in my own life. I'm talking 40 years ago now. I was engaged to a priest and he knew I was going through the discernment for ordination. And then he suddenly announced to me that he wasn't at all happy with me going to be ordained and that why couldn't I be satisfied with being a vicar's wife? You might laugh at that, but I thought, well, perhaps he's right. So was it more important for me to marry this man and be his wife and be a vicar's wife? Or was it more important for me to pursue ordination? Was pursuing ordination my selfish desire? Me thinking big of myself. And I was in a real dilemma. And I then wrote to my bishop and said I felt that I should stop the discernment process for ordination and marry this man. I never had any sense of peace from that decision. And that's often a good indication as well as to whether you've made the right decision. And then, out of the blue, my fiancé broke it all off. And I, when I look back, I was absolutely foolish. I was absolutely devastated. And then one day, not long after that, when I was crying, suddenly I heard this voice in my head saying, Jane, you know what you should be doing. And I knew that what I should be doing was going to be ordained. So that was a choice, really, out of I was being faced with two choices that on paper seemed perfectly all right. But only one of them was the right one. And only one of them was obeying God. And God was calling me to be ordained. Lent is a good time for us to return to seeking to discover how God wants us to live. And looking to how Jesus wrestled with how God wanted him to live is an example for us to follow. We need to be prepared to face down the demonic attacks which come our way by looking to Jesus as our example of how we repel temptations the devil offers us. And as I say, they might not be very bad versus very good. They might be very difficult to discern between the good and the best. But the one common thread that runs through all the responses Jesus made was to revert to Scripture. We live by every word that comes from God. We do not test God and try to prove God's existence by doing stupid things. We worship God only and serve only him. And we are all the time seeking to find what God wants us to do and be and obey it. Remember, the devil doesn't want us to do any of those things. That's the battle we face. It's all about God being at the centre of our lives at all times and in all places, allowing ourselves to trust God fully and depend on him. It's about loving God with our whole selves, seeking to stay close to God and listening to God through what God says through Scripture and through other people. But we need to test those things. That means we need to take time to read scripture every day. That's why I'm frequently encouraging people to use Bible reading notes and go to Bible study groups if you can get there. You might say, oh, I don't have time. Well, I encourage you to interrogate yourself with that statement. But Bible reading notes and joining others in Bible study groups offer you a discipline to read scripture daily to help you come to understand what and how God is speaking to you through scripture. Scripture guides us in how we live our lives. So praying and reading scripture is our number one priority. Waking up and offering the day to God and trying to stay close to God and listen to God throughout the day. I've sent a copy of a hymn that I thought that you might like to read and use as a sort of reference point to remind you, as it reminds me, of what my daily priorities are. And then there's worshipping God first and only, which is what we're doing anyway in all these other things of praying and reading scripture. But unfortunately, we have so many other idols that we unwittingly worship and put before God. It might be possessions, it might be busyness, it might be consumerism, money, success, family, pleasure. None of those things are bad. It's what matters is the order we put them in. God first, and then referring to God in how we use all these things God has given us. And how we use what we've been given is tied up with loving our neighbour, because what we do affects how others are, whether they're near to us or far away. Finally, serving God. The prophet Micah puts it very neatly, and I'm going to end with these words and leave these with you. What does the Lord require of you? That we do justice, that we love kindness, and that we walk humbly with our God. Amen. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we come to our forgiveness, asking God for forgiveness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Let us confess our sins, remembering before God the times when we have fallen from temptation into sin. We just pause for a moment and reflect on our own lives. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We're sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come to our intercessions. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Lord Jesus, you knew what it was to be tempted. When we are tempted to sin, help us to discern what you wish us to do, and then give us the will to obey you. Lord, help us to keep you first in our lives at all times and in all places. As we travel through Lent, cultivate in us the lifelong habit of daily prayer and daily reading of Scripture, so that you can shape us into the people you have always created us to be. Help us to serve you and guide us to use what you have given us for the welfare of all people. Fill us with your keen sense of justice, your loving kindness, and help us to walk humbly with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you the churches across the world. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith and who face temptation and testing on a daily basis. May we, filled with your Spirit, shed your light and love across our benefice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your world, Lord, for those places where there is war and violence that destroy people's freedom and increase their misery. Bring an end to all war and violence and destitution. We pray for those people who are hungry, who are homeless. We pray for all governments and world leaders, that they may make right and just decisions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing, Lord, we bring to you all whom we know who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Bring them healing, comfort, and may they feel your love enveloping them. We commend to you all those who have died recently, and those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a few moments of silence, I invite you to offer any other prayers you have. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the love of your only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we come to the peace. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love that are new every morning. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you, upon those whom you love, and may it remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.